Greetings, warriors. This is Captain Cordan Sutai Krenazan, commanding officer of the Global Fleet. Today, we have another installment speaking with one of my officers of the Global Fleet. We have Tovak Krenazan, Kirill Shalov, from the beautiful city of Moscow. Good day to you, Kirill. How are you?
Good evening, Mike. I'm okay. It's evening outside my window. My kids are sleeping, I hope. And I'm here with you.
Excellent, my friend. Excellent. And today, again, as recording, we have Lieutenant Commander Jia Jin. Greetings, Jia Jin. How are you today?
Kavan, doing very well.
Very good. All right. As I said, Tovak Krenazan is joining us from the beautiful city of Moscow. And Tovak, can you tell us a little bit about yourself as Kirill Shalov? Who are you? What can you tell us about yourself?
Small correction. First, I am not from Moscow. I am from Khimki. It's a small town, approximately 10 kilometers from Moscow. But the Moscow is not so far from me. Well, let it be Moscow. Well, as for me, I am 35 years old. I am programmer. I have two kids, boy and girl, 5 and 3 years old. And I am a Star Trek fan from 2002. My first Star Trek experience was The Next Generation. I saw it on cable TV. I saw, I don't know English word for that, but let it be promo commercial with Georgi Grechko. It's our former cosmonaut. He summoned to watch Star Trek, and he told, I am a big Star Trek fan too. I strongly recommend it.
Very good, Tovak. Now, you just mentioned what got you interested in watching the TV show. Was there anything before The Next Generation that got you interested in science fiction?
Next series, which I'm going to name, are somehow related with science fiction, but they are some type of fantastic space precinct, some episodes of Stargates, and fantastic cartoons like, damn, I forgot the English name. It was about Captain Marsh and his war with Neo Sapiens.
That's not ringing a bell with me.
Exosquad.
Okay, then. Okay. Were there any other science fiction shows that have run in Russia? Shows like Buck Rogers, Space 1999, or even Doctor Who from the British Isles. Anything like that?
Right now we have enough TV channels where you can watch it. But in my childhood, science fiction wasn't a theme which interested me enough until Star Trek.
I see. Okay.
Until 2002, when I was 16 years old.
Yes, an age where most of us start exploring our passions. Definitely. Well, along with watching, you said The Next Generation did feature many aliens that were not familiar or even thought about from the original series. We had the Betazoids, of course, we had the Vulcans, we had the Antikens, we had Salaeans. But what particularly got you interested in the characters of the Klingon?
Well, my favorite character, if you mean that, are Klek from The Matter of Honor. He's secondary officer in that episode, and later he became captain after the Battle of Marken V, where his battle cruiser Pike was destroyed in the battle with Breens and Jem'Hadar. Later, his Captain Kargan was died, and Klek lost his hand.
I see.
His Yes, his cruiser crashed, has crashed down, and after he abandoned his destroyed cruiser, he saw 13 Jemadar, and he could slew them just one hand and with Mekleth. This is true test for true warrior.
Oh, yes.
Those events are described in Keith the Kendo book. It's a good day to die.
Very good. Yes, unfortunately, I have not read as many novels from the Star Trek universe or from all the Klingons, the Klingon novels that we have out there. Only The Final Reflection is the one I've read time and time again. Mm. So do you feel that the character of Commander Clegg has formed your persona as a Klingon?
Yes, I think he is one of my favorite captains and favorite Klingons, and the second one is Martok too.
Very good, very good. Now, Tovek, just yes. Recently, I've been reminded of the stories of Russian history. Alexander yes. Nevsky.
Alexander again, please. Something with connection.
Alexander Nevsky.
Nevsky, yes. He won battle on Chudskoy Lake in 1242.
Yes, and
with
the
Tefton Order.
And the history of the Kievan Rus and basically the prehistory of the Russian Empire and the tales that you might have grown up with about the great warriors that formed the Russian state. Do you feel growing up with those stories, just as Western children grow up with stories of a General Rommel, General Patton in America, Napoleon, the English general at Waterloo, all those personalities in Russian history, do you think that they could have shaped your perception of your Klingon persona as well?
Well, first person which I honor, it was Pyotr Gavrilov, Major Pyotr Gavrilov. It was one of participants of Brest BREST, Brest Fortress. It's first fortress which was attacked by Germans in 1941. Just a few strings from report of German doctor when Brest Fortress unfortunately has fallen. German doctor saw a person who couldn't even swallow, but according to a report of German officer, just 1 hour before, this person with one gun defended from entire German squad, just entire he was one against entire German squad.
Yes.
Unfortunately, his heroism. Unfortunately, the story about his heroism was long time hided from many people.
I see.
It's because I don't know acceptable word for that. I mean, different stories about his heroism were revealed only after war.
Yes. Here in America, from the war of between 41 and 45, most of those veterans here also kept their stories to themselves. And a lot of the stories were classified top secret and just recently declassified that just currently, I would say within the last 10 years, roughly guess, all these stories are finally coming to the public. And these veterans of 44 to 45, 41 to 45, just now, currently, they're getting around to telling their children and their grandchildren and some great-grandchildren of what they saw during that war. And today's generation never realized that oh, wow, Grandpa, you did what?
Yes, yes. Something like that happened with Pyotr Gavrilov. He was one of people who survived German concentration camps, and he wasn't killed in first days of war.
Tovac, there are many examples, I'm sure, of so many heroes of the Russian Empire, just as there are many heroes of English history, American history, and French history that any CAG member can draw upon and infuse their persona with the stories that they grew up with hearing about those heroes. Indeed. Well, then, what got you interested in playing a Klingon as opposed to playing, say, an Andorian, which they are warlike, or another alien race inside the Star Trek universe? Why a Klingon?
Well, two reasons. First one, if we won't talk about Lors, Betor, and Gowron, because they are true politics and they are more insidious than Tal Shiar and Obsidian Order both together. I mean, if we will talk about simple warriors, they are very simple. You always know what you can wait from them.
Yes.
But if we are talking about warriors. And the second reason, many people compare Klingons with Soviet Union. So it's some part of my Soviet legacy because I was born in USSR.
All right. Well, I have I have heard that some people make a distinction between the Klingons of the original series and now the Klingons of the next generation and everything else. In the original series, when they were filming those episodes, there was the Soviet Union, and there was the perceptions that America had versus the Soviet Union, and how they were very insidious, as portrayed by the three main different Klingons, Kor, Kang, and Koloff. Now,
yes.
Kor, he was very urbane. And I've seen this, I've done everything. It's all the same to me. I'm just here to enjoy it. It would have been glorious. Then we have Kang, who is the warlike persona, that, hey, he has no problems of what battlefield he appears on. He will pick up a weapon and dominate that field of battle, no matter where, no matter what time it will be. And then we have Koloff, who's more than likely comfortable trading insult and jibe with a Federation officer on their own ground instead of facing it out, disruptor to phaser banks. But then again, Koloff will give you a whooping if you deserve it. So with all three of those Klingon personas all wrapped up into one, that at that time was the personification of what we believe was trying to be portrayed as the Soviet Union. Now, 25 years later, when TNG came, we have the different type of Klingon warrior, proud, noble. You know, he's very formidable, just the way that he looks on screen. And it's somebody that we aspire and look up to because of his ideals of what honor is and what honor should be. So there are these two distinctions that I have seen in different interpretations of the Klingons were personifications of the Soviet Union. But nowadays, the Soviet Union is no longer. We have a Russian Federation, and they have a different perspective of a Russian soldier. So I believe that the a perception of the Klingons has changed to fit the real world progression of what has happened over the last, 55 years of Star Trek fandom. So again, you know, does growing up in the former Soviet Union and now in the Russian Empire, Russian Federation, shape your character of Tobak?
Well, he's soldier of the Empire. That's what I that's how I can describe him. He's ready to fight any day, anywhere, with any enemy for the glory of the Empire.
For the glory of the Empire. Yes, well said.
And for glory of his house, of course.
Of course. Now, with so many literary worlds out there, there's murder, there's drama. What attracted you to science fiction?
Maybe it's because I was then in age when I'm tired about simple things, like these guys are good, those guys are bad, good guys win, bad guys will lose. I wanted something more complicated, things which are closer to life, to real world, to real life.
I see. Very good. All right, then. Now, is there any other type of fandom out there that you like personal besides Star Trek?
I tried to watch Stargate's Babylon 5.
Yes, very good.
But I watched just one episode.
I see, okay.
Unfortunately, I saw one or maybe two episodes of Lex, L-E-X-X. Some people call Lex uncensored version of Star Trek.
I don't know why, but... I don't believe I've ever heard of that one. Okay. Now, are you as strong of a Star Trek fan as you are? Are you as strong to those other franchises like Stargate or Babylon 5 or of this series Lex that you mentioned? Or is it just mostly Star Trek?
Well, most of my memories are about Stargates, but unfortunately I watched only first season and half of second.
Oh, I see. Well, it went on
for... I watched only TV series. I didn't see the movie with Kurt Russell.
I see. Well, depending on what's available over in the Russian Federation now, it can be caught on streaming services. I don't know what particular... same thing with Stargate as well. But again, I'm not familiar with what's available by you right now.
Many things are available.
Ah, very good. Well, well, thinking over the entire pantheon of Klingon characters that Star Trek has given us, do you have a favorite Klingon there?
Yes.
And who would that
Clark
be?
Clark and Martok.
Yes.
I think mostly Clark.
Over Martok, really? Very interesting.
Yes.
Why is it
because,
that?
Because most of things which I I've already mentioned about Clark in the start of our interview, and most things which I described, they were from Keith Dicando books.
Yes.
Clark didn't afraid to fight against other Klingon when he forced, when he tried to force to broke his word. He didn't afraid that. Unfortunately, Martok couldn't do that without Worf's help when Gowron tried to destroy his honor. He obeyed Gowron. He obeyed Gowron, and if Worf didn't interfere. Martok's honor was lost.
That's correct, yes. Good example. Very good example. Well, as you just pointed out, your favorite Klingons, is there a favorite Klingon episode out there?
There are many. There are many.
Any one that more, stands out?
Well, once more into Bridge. It's about Kor, the Dahar Master, the sins of Father, Taken to the Wind, and Redemption, both parts.
Yes, they all of those episodes gave us wonderful insight on what it is to be a Klingon. Definitely. Any one of those that might stand out just a little bit more than the others as your most favorite episode?
The Sons and Daughters. In this episode, Worf restored his relationships with Alexander Rozhenko, his son.
That was an exceptional episode, one of my favorites, because one, it brought back the actor that portrayed young Rozhenko, and again, it just life with Klingons that can be as close as father son, or as distant as a relationship as father and son can have. So it went to both extremes. So yes. A wonderful example, Tovek. Very good. Now,
to the credit of Alexander Rozhenko, he didn't afraid to go as become a part of crew on Klingon ship. To his credit,
yes,
he lived in the Earth a very long time. He wasn't familiar with Klingon traditions. He didn't want to live as Klingon. He rejected Klingon ways.
But in the end, as Worf said, he found his way.
Yes.
Now,
Worf helped his son to be a Klingon, and Alexander helped Worf to be a father.
Excellent points. Well said. Now, turning to Kag now, what attracted you to join or even be interested in the Klingon Assault Group?
It's a good opportunity to contact with other people who like Star Trek and Klingons, of course, just like me. And another opportunity is, you all guys can help me to see another country. So you're all from different countries. America, Japan, Sweden, Germany, and so on. I mean, you guys can help me to see your countries with my own eyes. I mean, not through mass media eyes.
Yes. That's what I've tried to do with our private messaging group on Facebook. In fact, if I remember correctly, Tovak, just after you joined and our girl in Poland joined, we had a staff meeting, which we do every month, and you two were talking with each other. I don't know if it was Russian or Polish.
Yes, it was Russian. I was surprised when I knew Daria knows Russian.
Yes.
I was surprised, really.
You two were talking like old friends, and that touched me so deeply that no matter what differences countries might have had in the past, Star Trek brings together people from those countries and just let them talk like friends do over a pint of beer or something. And now we have a member in Spain, two members in France. We still have members in Denmark and Holland, Finland, Australia. You all can talk with now. So when I hear or see you guys talking on the message board, and I see your little icon popping up against Japan, Australia, especially our Klingon in Iceland. it's just
Iceland. Good, John.
So wonderful that you guys speak as good friends. So again, thanks to CAG for providing that platform for people all over the world. And did you know we even have two people from a different fleet on that message board, one from Mexico and one from Brazil, that you can speak with whenever they pop on. I asked them to be part of that message board because everything, we all need to help each other and support each other.
Yes.
So definitely, whenever you see them, you know, chime in and give them a hello. Now,
do you remember, Mike, do you remember TNG episode The Birthright, when Worf came into Romulan camp on Carrier 4? He hoped to find his father, who was captured after who was captured by Romulans after Khitomir attack.
Yes, yes, I do.
And Romulan General Toketh, if I'm correct, T-O-K-A-T-H, who was portrayed by Geoffrey Lewis, if I'm correct.
I'm not sure of the actor's name, but that is the Romulan name, yes.
He said, I did that what any other politician couldn't do before.
That's right, that's right. Bringing the two cultures together in one area.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes.
On one planet.
Yes.
Yes, that also is a very good episode because it does show another side of a type of tenderness that may not be accustomed to be seen by audiences, but also it can portray the deep-seated distrust one can have for something else. But at the end, I believe it might have colored Worf's beliefs on how different people can get along with each other, even in the slightest civil sense. So again, a very good example to speak of.
He saw Romulans with another eyes.
Indeed, very well said. And now, Tovek, about your CAG persona.
Yes.
Do you believe there are any challenges that Tovek needs to overcome? Or is there anything that Tovek likes about being, besides talking with the other Klingons, anything else that Tovek likes belonging to CAG?
Well, I had one before I became the part of CAG. It was in 2018. I tried to translate Klingon dictionary. I'm talking about Bokwe program on Russian. But unfortunately, I didn't have enough time and I abandoned that. Now, sometimes I'm thinking to continue that.
Ah, very good. Well, if there's a way that, or if you needed help with anything about Bokwe or anything translated from a Klingon into Russian, maybe the Klingon Language Institute can help, or maybe our Supreme Commander, Kirk, perhaps he might have some insight on how to go about doing that.
Well, it was started when I've contacted with member of KLI. If I want to be honest, he offered me to do that. He contacted with me. He knew that I am from Russia. He lives in Texas, Austin.
Okay.
And he offered me to do that.
Oh, very kind, very kind. And how was that going along?
Approximately during 1 year, I translated 5, maybe 6 words per week. But unfortunately, when my younger daughter was born, I didn't have enough time for that.
Of course, the children.
Yes, yes. Children children very often require more time than you expected.
Oh, indeed, indeed. I have not had the opportunity, but I'm sure all the parents out there can agree with you, definitely. More than 100.
Yes, free time is a luxury for parents.
Indeed it is. Now, Tovek, say you were at the Kranazan compound household and you're sitting in the main courtyard with your favorite beverage and just thinking about things as the day progresses. What would be going through Tovek's mind at that moment?
Nothing. Well, actually nothing. I have blood wine if weekend now. I have a mug of Ractagino if it's Monday morning, Tuesday morning until Friday morning. Damn, it's damn job. I have so many things to do today.
Yes, real time. But we do what we can when we can. Yes. Now, we've talked about many things that has shaped your persona of Tovek. And I'm curious as I ask all of my officers, as far as you know, can you tell us anything about your area or your country's attitude towards science fiction fandom whatsoever?
Well, we have enough Star Trek fans, but unfortunately Star Wars are more popular. Because Star Wars, it's about good guys and bad guys. Good guys winning, bad guys losing. It's a simple story arc.
See,
and unfortunately, many people like simple stories. They not many people like complicated story arcs like in Star Trek. But I know many people who also like Stargates, Battlestar Galactica, Lex, and many other.
Yes, yes. So do you feel that there is a good Star Trek population that just needs to be brought out with the proper inducement, just bubbling below the surface, waiting for the next great Star Trek movie to get things fired up, or a new actor to fire up the fandom? Or is there something else that needs to bring out more Star Trek fans into the population's eyes?
Well, I think it definitely should be new Star Trek movie. I think if it won't be J.G. Abrams movie with his Kelvin timeline.
Yeah.
Damn, JJ, what have you done? You just canceled Kittimer Accords. You canceled events of Undiscovered Country. You canceled Romulan. You canceled Romulan attack on Kittimer. You canceled Dominion War. How did you do that? How you could do that, JJ. Yes.
Well, at one time. Must have had Paramount's approval. I view it as bringing a different flavor to a new audience. So as things progressed from what we saw from the original series to the motion picture and the Wrath of Khan into the next generation, it's all evolving. And it's just appealing to different audiences at different ages, at different times. So for us to put, oh, this is horrible, this is not Star Trek.
Yes, they mixed it together and it was horrible.
Yeah. And unless, the way I see it is, unless the person that is saying this is not Star Trek, unless that person works for Paramount or CBS, if they are getting a paycheck by one of those two entities, unless they're writing the stories that is appearing on screen, who are they to say what is or what is not Star Trek? To me, it's all Star Trek. People can watch it or they don't have to watch it. And they can stay in their own little things or try to expand what they know of and go from there. But that's my opinion.
I see.
Okay. Now, what do you think about the attitude of a Star Trek in Russia? Some countries, they say it's in like nostalgic or more like an entertainment afterthought. Or in France, it did not appear on streaming services until 5 years ago. It's very limited as to what American audiences are used to. For the past 55 years or so, Star Trek has been on American TV off and on, a syndication once a week, horrible time slots, what have you. But it's been ingrained in the American television psyche. What do you feel is Star Trek's placement in Russian television psyche?
Unfortunately, you can't find Star Trek on cable TV. It's simple because we have internet and we can enough platforms, resources, and so on. to watch any episode which we like. And also we have torrents to download episodes and watch it on our computers or TVs. I mean, we can download it on our computer and watch it on TV.
So there might be a bright future for Star Trek fandom over in Russia.
Definitely, definitely.
Excellent. That's good.
You're right. Star Trek future will be very bright if creators, if Berman and other creators won't add politics. I mean, have you ever heard about The Arrow, The Flash, The Legends of Tomorrow series?
Yes, I have, and I have not seen them at all.
I won't point your attention too much on it, but I tell you what, this is a classic story about superheroes, good guys, bad guys, but with more complicated story arc. But never mind. I think they spoiled this series because politics. I don't want the same for Star Trek.
Yes, yes. Yes, I've seen on many sites on Facebook that there are many things invading the core value of Star Trek. Some say the value were already there, just disguised in some way. And then there's the other camp saying, oh, I don't want this stuff in my stories. I want this, 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 and this, and nothing else. And then it just comes back to me saying, you know, Gene Roddenberry had such a creative, open mind that no story was off limit, whether it be one race against another race, one government against another government, how governments treat individuals, the decline of different governments. It's always been there. It's just because of the time the original series aired, the censors on American TV had to use certain guidelines that were acceptable to put out to American audience. Nowadays, it seems like there are very few restrictions of what can be used as a story or what can be seen on screen. Almost every aspect of life out there is fair game. And which also brings to a point that now that there's barriers that have fallen between certain countries, now different ideas are coming into other countries that may not have been there in the past. Or if they have been there, they are finally being explored and spoken of. Do you see that happening now that Russia is more open than they were, say, 30 years ago?
Well, I don't know how about 30 years ago, but Russia is more open than 50 or 60 years ago, definitely. Why?
Oh, yeah.
It's because we can talk to each other without fear to be captured by your FBI or my FSB.
Or what American audiences may know as what used to be the KGB.
KGB, yes, yes. FSB, this is Russian Federation version of KGB.
I see. There we go. Okay, okay. So, yeah, it's very, very good that even in Gene Roddenberry's imagination, we had, you know, Pavel Chekhov on the
Pavel
bridge.
Chekhov, yes, yes, yes.
We had that presence, and he had the foresight to acknowledge the Soviet contribution to exploring space. And now we have this young officer on the bridge in the third season of the most popular science fiction television show in America. I'm sure there was many viewers that were taken aback by that, but it's still science fiction, so it was deemed appropriate or acceptable. Mm. Or yeah, I'll go along with, because this is just science fiction. But all those barriers seem to have been spirited away, and now we can have so much interaction between different former ideology that truly, I think if Gene Roddenberry was still with us, bless his memory, that he would be having and field day with making up all these different stories and exploring different avenues of thought that Star Trek would be safe for the next 50 years or so.
I heard legend how Pavel Chekhov appeared in Star Trek. I mean, his character, of course. The legend is next. Some people told to Gene Roddenberry that in Soviet newspaper Pravda, that in Soviet newspaper Truth wrote that in American TV show Star Trek, the origin series, that there is no one Russian person. And some people told Gene Roddenberry about this story in a Russian newspaper. And after that, he decided to introduce to us Pavel Chekhov. But I consider it just beautiful legend because in 1967, it was the middle of Cold War. Soviet people couldn't watch Star Trek and couldn't even hear about that. That's why I consider it just beautiful legend.
Yes. So for introducing Anton Chekhov, Gene Roddenberry, spasibo.
Spasibo. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, Tovek, just briefly or very quickly, over the next years coming up, What do you feel would be your plans within CAG?
I continue to be part of CAG and to be a member to remain member of House Kanashon, of course. And as for another plans, well, I didn't think about that yet.
Fair enough. Well, beside spreading the word about CAG. Through Moscow, of course, and then getting up to St. Petersburg, and then Minsk, and anywhere else that CAG would be welcome.
I tried to spread CAG in Moscow, in Kazakhstan. Unfortunately, two of them declined, and the last one couldn't join us because she was in train. I told you yesterday.
Yes. Well, for what it's worth, it will happen. CAG has been around for 30 years. We're not going anywhere. So whoever is
good.
Yes.
And it's good.
Whoever is in Russia or any of the former Soviet Unions, we will welcome your warrior spirit. All right, Tovek, thank you so much for this wonderful time spent with you. Is there, if anybody wishes to get a hold of you, is there any way that can do so, either on Facebook, Twitter, email, any of that?
Facebook, Twitter. Well, I have Facebook, and I don't have Twitter account. Okay. Do you mean that?
Yes. If anybody wants to get a hold of you to talk more with our, I hate to say it, but Russian Klingon, is there a way they can get a hold of you?
You can contact me on Facebook, on VKontakte. It's a Russian social network. You can write me on email. And that's all.
And how would they find those addresses?
My email is iksrutaran.empire@gmail.com. And my Facebook is... it's id.soldierofempire.
That's
Tovek.soldierofempire.
Very good.
Write me.
Good. Well, before we close out, Tovek, is there any final words that you would like to share with CAG in general?
Yes. Klingons will rule the earth.
Kapla. Very well said.
Kapla, long live to the Empire, and Klingonma Tahjach. It means remain Klingon.
Oh, yes. Well, very good. Well, there we have it, CAG. That was Warrior Tovek Krenazan of House Krenazan, giving us insight as to what it is to be a Klingon in the Russian Federation. And on behalf of myself, Captain Kordan Sutai Krenazan, and Lieutenant Commander Jajim, thank you for joining us today. And as always, as Tovek succinctly said, Klingon Mach, Tak Judge, Kapla!
Klingon Mach, Tak Judge, Kapla!